Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. We're really excited for our show tonight as we have joining us Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., and he is a Toltec master of transformation and has been sharing his messages of enlightenment by combining the wisdom of his family's traditions through his father, who is the author of many books, including The Four Agreements, and his grandmother. Miguel Jr. is the author of many books as well, such as The Five Levels of Attachment, Living a Life of Awareness, The Mastery of Self, and has recently released his new book, Don Miguel Ruiz's Little Book of Wisdom. It is our great pleasure to be speaking with you today, Miguel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen, thank you so much for having me on the show. Stephanie, how are you guys doing?
Really fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. It was such a pleasure to be talking to you today.
The idea of the Toltec teachings has been taught through the idea of agreements. So how would you describe for us agreement from this perspective?
Well, it's the action of saying yes. You know, you can say that who I am, what I am, is the force that animates this. You can say that I am not this body and I am not this mind, and the force that gives life to both the whole. So the word yes, that three-letter word, represents the moment where I make the choice to use energy that I am to animate this body, to animate this mind, to manifest something. The same energy I use to move my legs, to move my arms, is exactly the same energy I use to create a thought. So from that point of view, at the root of every belief I have, there is a yes that gives it power. You know, that thing that gives every word I have power is exactly that, me, my energy, who I am, my true sense of self. So the word agreement, it simply represents that moment where I say yes to something, giving it power. It's different from a commandment or something like that where you have to. An agreement is, I want to. I want to create this. I want to manifest this. That's what makes the difference between, for example, difference between the four agreements and the four conditions. The telltale sign that we use the four conditions is when we use those four agreements, those things, don't make assumptions, always do your best, and be impeccable with the word, as instruments to domesticate ourselves to live up to an image that doesn't exist. And the telltale sign that we do it is judging ourselves, judging a particular person, judging ourselves for making assumptions, judging ourselves for those things. So that's what domestication is. Domestication is a system of reward and punishment by which we model the behavior of an individual. If you live up to the expectation, you get the reward. And if you don't live up to the expectation, you get the punishment. And since we are emotional beings, that we perceive the world through our emotional body, that reward feels like acceptance, which feels like love. And the punishment feels like rejection, which feels like the lack thereof of love. It's the way we've learned conditional love. So the conditions that we've learned throughout our life is said that if we create this image that, in my case, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., if I live up to all four agreements, I forgot the fifth agreement. Oh, no, how can I call myself Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. if I don't know the four agreements? How can I call myself? And the diatribe of judgment kicks in, judging myself, punishing myself for not living up to an image of Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. that in order to be worthy of love, he has to be perfect, to be completely free of any flaw. So you can say that at that point, I have to live up to the four agreements. I have to live up to those four conditions, because that's what the corruption of it is. The corruption of any tradition, not just the Toltec, but in all the beautiful traditions that's around the world. So you can say that's one of those things that we confuse with a law or a commandment, whatever. But a condition, as opposed to all those, is trying to live up to something that is not me, as opposed to an agreement. Now, I use that. I like, and I don't like contrasting it to a commandment or something like that. I like using the contrast to a condition because that's exactly what an agreement is. It's opposite. An agreement is done with free will as opposed to a condition that's done without it. An agreement is done with a complete free will that since I am alive at this very moment, that I am the sum of all the choices I have ever made. At the same time, I'm the youngest I will ever be. At this very moment, I am the infinite possibility because I'm alive. I can go in any direction in life. My mind think of all these possibilities, not only to perceive the environment that surrounds me, but I can also think and imagine all these possibilities. And if I like one of them, then I go use my body and I'll use my mind to manifest it. So at that moment, like the equivalent of taking a step in that direction, that's what an agreement is. The action of saying yes.
Would you say, Don, that it's fair to say that for most of us, we're sort of set in our understandings that when we are agreeing to something and we're actually saying yes, we might not actually be saying yes because we really want to say yes. We're saying yes because we feel as though we have to, based on conditions that we've laid out for ourselves, based on our belief systems and our past, and that it's really about coming back to authentic power. And that is something I'm very passionate about, and I talk about it myself. And you know, I'd love to hear what your take is on authentic power, what that means as opposed to the power of the ego. And when you come into yourself and find your authenticity, what comes of that, how it affects your life.
Sure. Well, the authentic self or the authentic power is just another symbol to describe who I am. And what I am is, and who I am is beyond any words that can describe. Not only is the limit of my own story or describing it, just capturing just a glimpse of it, but who I am, what I am, is just simply knowing that at this very moment I am alive. And all I need to do is to know who I am is to take a breath. Now, ego. The easiest way to understand ego is to see it as a function rather than a concept. If we see ego as the instrument we use to keep the illusion alive, say we create an image of ourselves, be it based on our identity, be it based on the rules, be it based on whatever conditioning we come from, our culture, our background, our history, whatever, create an identity based on it. For example, I'm about to go see Depeche Mode tonight, so I can call a Depeche Mode devotee or a Gothic, whatever. If I live by those rules and I'm only supposed to like those kind of music, then I'm forcing myself to say yes to those things with those rules. That if I listen to, say, The Cure or say The Smiths or say or something modern from this day and age, then I'll be saying to myself, "Well, you're a traitor. You're not a real fan. You're a wannabe." And when I was young, that was the big thing, to be called a wannabe. So in order not to be called a wannabe, you have to always try to live up to that image. Always try to live up to the expectation. And that's what ego is. We have an image that we created based on our preferences, based on our conditions, based on whatever it is in our history. And we create an image. For example, myself, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., that guy doesn't exist. It's just a name that describes who I am. But whatever image people have of that Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. as a Toltec, that guy doesn't exist. But if I believe that image, if I believe that projected model, then that model is going to be, but I'm going to use to domesticate myself. So from that point of view, ego is trying to live up to that image that receives acceptance, that receives praise, that receives that conditional love. I'm pretending to be something I am not. So from the point of view of the four agreements and all the works that we do, that's the main battle, or you can say the main work that we do to let go of our domestication, to let go of conditional love and begin to see ourselves as we are, to see the truth of who we are. And the truth is, we are a living being that has complete capacity to evolve, to learn, to engage, that any mask or any identity that we put onto ourselves only encapsulates but a part of ourselves. To say my authentic power or to say my authentic self is just a symbol that describes me. So right there, you can see that I can, who I am, the living being that is me, requires no word. But as soon as I believe the word, authentic self and say, that's me. I've created an image. I created an expectation. I've forgotten that that symbol is supposed to represent or explain or express something in words. But as soon as I believe it, and as soon as I have to live up to it, then that even that image becomes corrupted, and I have to domesticate myself to live up to that authentic self, or whatever it is. The mind is that tricky because we're so used to it. We're used to that model of forsaking ourselves, to not be willing to see ourselves for the sake of approval, for the sake of acceptance. But if we let go of that idea, if we let go and be willing to see ourselves, then that's what unconditional love is. To me, unconditional love simply is the willingness to see myself as I am. And with that, that allows me to see the people in my life, the people I engage with, the people I work with, as individuals, as human beings, rather than a projected image I have of them. So my authentic power comes simply by knowing and experiencing myself as that experience of life. I am alive at this very moment.
I understand the word Toltec means artist. And you have said mm-hmm. we are the artists of our own story. And I really find this to be a beautiful way to express the idea of creation, of creating our lives and seeing ourselves in this way.
I am, from the point of view, like I said before, the Toltec, the word is a Nahuatl word, and English means artist. If I translate the phrase, the Toltec art of transformation into 100% English, it means the art, the path of the artist, the personal transformation. Sorry, I totally just blanked out there. My canvas for my work of art is my life. And imagine that work of art continuously evolving, continuously changing with every decision, with every stroke, with every experience of life. And the instrument I'm going to use to create that work of art is my life itself, this body, this mind, my will. To have free will is to be able to say yes with a complete freedom of life and no with a complete freedom of life. My no is just as powerful as my yes. Because my no, that two-letter word, represents the moment where I make the choice not to use the energy that animates this body, that animates this mind, to manifest a single thing. No means no. And it's just as powerful as my yes. My yes and my no, also known as my will. To have free will is to be able to say yes and no with complete freedom of life. To say yes when I want to say yes to and no when I want to say no to. That's our personal freedom and its instrument. The most pivotal instrument that we use to create that work of art. Because I can create the most perfect nightmare if I wanted to. If I wanted to, I can create the most perfect hell. But if I want to, I can also create the most perfect harmonious dream where I'm able to relate with everyone, including myself. And that's the thing about being able to relate with everyone. I can't give what I do not have. If I have conditional love for myself, then I've got nothing but conditional love to give to everyone in the world. But if I have unconditional love for myself, then I heal myself from the wounds that conditional love left in my life. But I'm able to share that healing, not just within myself, but with everyone in my life. Then I become the constant opportunity for unconditional love. So you can say from right there, I can either paint the most perfect nightmare, and I can say that the forces, that domestication, that conditional love that creates conflict, that creates anger, that creates all those clashes, I create the perfect chain of events where I begin to relate to people and see them from that point of view and begin to express compassion and the willingness to hear and listen to someone else's point of view, but I also learn to listen to myself because I can't care what I do or have. So from that point of view, that's the art we create. The art is my life, and I either create a story that describes my life, that is to be the perfect dramatic war nightmare, or the most perfect harmonious expressive beauty. You know, you can look at Picasso and see both the horrors of humanity and the most beautiful parts in the same work of art. I always learned this, that from one action, you could tell 1,000 stories. All stories are going to be true to the storyteller. So that goes to that expression, actions speak louder than words. But here's the thing. We use words to describe every action, and that's how we begin to tell a story. We use words to explain and put into words that someone else can understand an experience we have with life, and that's the story. What is my experience of me? So going back to not just this story, but to talk about the authentic self or the authentic power, is instead of knowing myself as a symbol with a definition, meaning an identity with its definition and meaning, I know myself as the experience of me being alive. And that's where the Toltec art comes in. That's the philosophy of the tradition.
I wonder if on some level I'm part Toltec. Because everything go ahead. Sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just everything you say resonates so profoundly and deeply and has since I started listening to and reading both your books and your family's books. And it's just, I feel like I'm talking to my own self in a sense, because it's just the philosophy is so much the same. And looking at your life as this this masterpiece that you're creating, regardless of, you know, like you say, whether you're creating a horror story, whether you're creating this amazing, enchanted, enlightened love story with you in the universe, when you look at your life from this perspective, you're removing the urge to become the victim to your life. In other words, you're accepting your own responsibilities in the world of who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's like part of our love is that, and respect we have for ourselves is to love ourselves and have a confidence in ourselves to make choices in our life, which also includes loving ourselves and respecting ourselves to experience the consequences of our choices. And that's what life is. That's what makes it sound so similar to one another. We learn from life. Life is the teacher. And we all put it in our own language, in our own symbols. You know, we can see the same in Christianity, in Judaism, and Muslim, and Hindu, and all throughout all the traditions around the world, from the great grand spirits here in America to the wonderful sun in the south. We all put it to words, our communion with the divinity, which is life. And when life teaches us that, we put it into the words we know. That's why we all sound different. You know, the story of the Tower of Babel comes into mind, where we all experience it all together, but because we all speak in different languages and different symbols and different experiences, we don't hear one another. In fact, we misunderstand each other so much. But when we put ourselves aside, when we get ourselves out of the way, we begin to listen, then you will see that every single tradition speaks the same common experience. Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Life. Yeah.
Love and life.
Love and life. And what's interesting, to take it back to what Stephanie was saying, when she had said, you know, she had said that, you know, she may be coming from the perspective of a Toltec. And one thing that I really love about what you had mentioned is that in your book, that Toltec isn't a race of beings. It's a philosophy. It's a perspective, you know. And I really enjoy that aspect of what you're teaching.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I really think that lessons and teachings are important when they resonate, because they resonate because we see ourselves in it. And, you know, right now we live in a time where we can learn from the ancestors from all around the world, because all the information is there available for us. We can learn from the ancestors in the north, in the south, in Africa, in Europe, in Asia. All we have to do is just click a button and hit enter and see what the results come out. Mm-hmm. The information is there, and that's the beautiful time we have. And right now, what's important is that as we apply that and learn the lessons of our ancestors that did their best to figure it out, because they had a lifetime to understand, is that we translate it and let it see and how it plays out in our life. How can we learn it? How can we engage it? How can we experience it? How does it reflect our life now? And that's when those lessons stop being something that belongs in a museum and starts becoming something practical in our lives. And that's the beauty. You know, we resonate. Yes, the Tolta tradition, my father always said that the key to the Four Agreements is that we already know it. We just forgot it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about a lot of us, the knowledge. We forgot the knowledge, but as soon as we reconnect with it, we enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And we apply it. And we mostly, here's the thing, we now mostly apply it, not for ego, not for any of that. We apply it to heal ourselves. We still use it to heal each other, to heal the wounds that separated us, to heal the wounds that divided us, to heal the wounds that made me reject myself, to forsake myself. Mm-hmm. And when I heal those wounds, then all my relationships benefit from a heart that is mended and a mind that is mended. And that is the essence of the lessons that our ancestors taught, because they did their very best to heal those wounds in their time.
So when you talk in the book about, you know, speaking about healing, whether it's emotional, physical, you know, obviously they're all connected. You talk about letting go of the past. So would you say that runs deeper than this lifetime, that we carry on the hurt and pain that we may not have been reconciled in past lifetimes into this lifetime?
In a way, you can say that, you know, the philosophical idea of this, when did life start? When did my life start? Let's just put it that way. When did my life start? And when I was young, I used to think that it was at the moment when I was born, when I came out of my mom's womb. I used to think that was the time when I was born. Then, as I was educated and went to school, I discovered that my life began at the moment of my conception, the moment where mom and dad come together and made me. But then there's a question that a dear friend of mine asked me. He's a philosophy major himself back in the day. He asked me, Miguel, was there life in the sperm and the ovum? And the answer is yes. Life was already there in the sperm or the ovum, which means life already was there. If the sperm or the ovum or those cells were dead, my conception wouldn't have existed. So me, life, did not start at my conception. Me, life, life, was already there in a force that animates my father and my mother's bodies. Because the sperm and the ovum were alive. They had life in them. But here's the thing, my life didn't start with them either, because their life didn't start at the moment of their birth or their conception. It was already there in their parents. And then the imagination already runs wild with this one. It begins to expand. You can see the whole line of ancestors that you go through. And then there's an apex where it begins to narrow down, where we have that one common ancestor. Me, life, I've been around for a long time, whether it be a memory or whatnot, or work through, it's there for me to heal. But me, life, I'm eternal. I'm infinite. The same energy that animates my body is the same energy that animates my parents. And if you use that imagination, it's the energy that gives life to everything. So it's a collective memory, you can say, or I can say the experience. To heal was to heal the relationship we have with all ourselves. From that point of view, I, life, what I experience is the whole. Of course, this is philosophy, this is this idea, but it all comes out with that question, that comment. When did life start? And the answer is, a long time ago. The next question is, then what was created at that moment of conception? How is it that I only see from my own point of view? And that's the thing. When I was born into this body, I only see life from this single point of perception, from the stretches of this neural system That's my eyes. That's my ears. That's my nerve sensors that connect through my, all my body. I see life from a single point of perception that makes me believe that I'm separate from everything and everything that exists. Because we were born into a body that sees life as an individual. And you can say that's the beauty of what we're experiencing. We get to experience life from a single point of perception, which reminds me of what my father used to describe. Imagine that you lived your whole life from a single drop of water in the ocean, and you have only that perception of a single drop of water, and you think your whole life that you're this particle of water, this droplet of water, that you're separate from the ocean. And then all of a sudden you transcend, you pass, and your whole perception expands to the whole ocean. Now, that's something beautiful. But that's something that I'm going to find out when it happens to me when I pass away. But at this very moment, I'm the sum of all the choices I've ever made from this single point of perception, but also throughout my family. I see myself in everything. So from that point of view, healing, past lives, and that kind of thing, there's only been one life.
Right. Yeah, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. Yeah, that's a really good, I love what you just said there. There, whether you're talking past lives or this life, it all, is all just one life.
Yeah, and the thing that I only can control is this very moment, because I can't go back in the past and change a yes to a no, no to yes, because it no longer exists. It only exists in my mind. It probably didn't happen the way I think it happened. The future doesn't exist yet. It's the consequences of the choices I make now, which means the only place where I'm able to express my will, my free will, is in this present moment, which means the only place, the only moment in time that I get to heal is in this present moment. Because it's the only place, the only moment in time where I'm able to take an action and manifest. It's a beautiful thing. It's like, imagine a blank piece of paper with a pen, and you drop that pen to begin to write, and you have that little dot. Then you begin to draw, and you draw this line, continuous line. You don't separate the pencil, the pen from the paper. You just draw, and you take a long time. Here's the thing. The line that you see on the white page, or what used to be the white page, is everywhere you've been. The future is everything, every part that remains white, which means it hasn't been drawn on. But the only place where it exists is the present, is the moment where pen, or you can say ink, touches paper. That's the present. And at that point, it can go in any direction. It doesn't have to go straight. It can make a left turn, a right turn. You can even swirl and find a way out of that little swirl. Life is beautiful. But the only place where I can heal life is in this present moment. And if that action heals the wounds of my ancestors, great. If that action heals not just my ancestors, but every single living being living in this very moment, wow. Mm-hmm. That is the beauty of living a life. Everything is possible at this very moment, including all of us forgiving us each other at the same time. That's a possibility. Of course, it feels like it's something beyond our imagination, but because there's life, it's there if we want it. Mm-hmm. But it starts from the single point of perception that is me, because that's the only thing I can control. That's the irony or the beauty of this dream. I only control to the tips of my own fingers. I don't control the will of any other human being, which means the only way to make an impact in my life, like Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with a man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change.
That's awesome. You've really brought that back. I was feeling the Michael Jackson song right there. You're right. And you talk about the mirror and using that as a perspective of illusion, what's real, what's not, and really trying to express the idea that the change comes from you. And this is an amazing teaching that you have. We could talk about this for hours and hours and hours. I mean, Miguel is you know, this is just scratching the surface, and you and your family have been presenting to us the ideas, these ideas of awareness and becoming a master of our own creation and being the artist of our own lives and trying to set us free in the right direction. And I really appreciate that. But this portion of the program, we're out of time.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you. You know, you have a wonderful format and a vehicle by which we can share. So I'm grateful to be a part of this.
And thanks so much for this portion of the program. Everyone stay tuned, and we'll be back with Miguel and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in your space, of this current reality, this life that you're living now on this planet today. We come to you with a mutual understanding of love and respect for one another. We would like to offer our sincere gratitude for your openness and your willingness to communicate with those on the other side of the veil in the non-physical realm, that which you cannot see, but you do feel. Many of you feel from time to time and often wonder, what is this feeling that I am experiencing? We would like to welcome this opportunity to co-create the existence of your life. We are here to support you on your journeys, just as you are supporting us on our journeys. This is a mutual life of existence. There is no separation between us and you. We are you, you are us. We are here as a reminder of your existence, of your creation, of your imaginative powers that have created this life that you are creating. We would like to offer you this opportunity to put forth your questions and queries. And we will do our best to communicate with you our perspective of your life as a eternal human being.
Well, first, I am honored to talk to you, to engage you, to co-create with you, to be with you, to see you, to feel you, and to be here. My honor, my gratitude to you. Thank you. My question,
we would just like to take a moment to revel in the energetic exchange that we are experiencing with you, your people, your lineage. We would like to experience this moment in its fullness. We would like to take a moment to offer our sincere gratitude for the work that you are doing on your planet to bring forth the understandings that you know to be true, that you believe in, from your eternal being, from the wholeness of who you are. The passion and the compassion that you have for all humans, all beings, everywhere. We would like to acknowledge to you our sincere appreciation and gratitude for the impact that you are making on the world around you.
My honor, my gratitude, thank you. My question is actually a very simple one that I almost answered myself, but I still like to hear it. Where do we start?
Where do you end? There is no start, there is no end. Where does the circle begin?
Yeah. So it's all done.
It's continual.
Which means is that the only thing that gets in the way is myself.
Yes, of course. And as you said, these are answers that you already know. But we're used to this. Mm-hmm. We're used to this kind of communication because we're here to validate that which you already know. We are here to validate mm-hmm. those answers that you know exist within your own heart, within the expansion of your creative self, But as a human being, the limitations arise only through the constructs of the mind, through the constructs of being the limited human being as a physical being. But from the eternal perspective of who you are, there is no beginning. There is no end. It just is. Yes?
Yeah.
A difficult concept to wrap the human brain around. Yes, we understand. But we were talking about concepts. The idea of expansion, although it is a concept in and of itself, expansion is a constant movement, it's constant momentum, it's constant liberation of the self in its entirety. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, from that perspective, how could there be a beginning or an end?
Just in one moment.
Yes. It's perplexing, yes?
It's fun.
And this is what life is about. This is what existence mm-hmm. is about. But,
you know,
yes, Karen?
You know, one thing I've discovered in talking to my ancestors or witnessing it, that it was done to heal. It was done to see the what if. It was all done to see. And as soon as it happened, we laughed. That was the only way to express it. How can we explain a laugh?
A laugh is the feeling of freedom that comes from a deeper sense of who you are. It's the feeling of liberation from the idea of boundaries, of the idea of constriction, the idea of limiting beliefs that confine you to the idea that something is unlaughable, that something is painful, that something is an obstacle, a turbulence in your life, a trial, tribulation. Those are constructs coming back to the mind, coming back to the humanness of who you are. But this is part of who you are, so it is to be accepted as part of who you are. And that is where you find the ability to laugh. You overcome the feeling and the urge to revert back to the constructs of the mind that are telling you that this is an unlaughable situation. From the experience of expansion, from the perspective of eternity, why should that experience not be laughable? It is a... Yes? There we go. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
When in doubt, laugh.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's always been that moment in seeing the laughter of my father and my grandmother and all our teachings. It always ends with a laugh.
It simplifies the matters. It's a way of releasing the idea of the fear that is creating a resistance to laugh. Creating the resistance to look at a situation from a broader perspective, getting stuck in the idea this is a fearful situation, this is a situation and experience in life that is causing me pain, that's reverting back to the constructs of the human mind that is telling you this is a painful situation. From the eternity of who you are, there is no pain, hence the ability to laugh at it. This may be perceived by others as perhaps being cold, unfeeling, but it is the opposite. It is the opposite.
It's the full engaging.
It's the acceptance.
Yeah.
And life will always present itself in unique experiences that may present themselves as being unlaughable. And some will be presented as being extremely laughable. It's coming to the middle ground in all experiences and situations that enable you to tap into that part of you that is connected to all of creation, that is reminding you that this experience too can be overcome with the idea of joy, with the idea of love, with the idea of oneness, with the idea of forever existing as a beautiful manifested creature in this experience of life. Yes?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
you will be laughing this evening.
It's a great memory, it's a great moment, it's a great present.
Living in the moment, living in the present, living in your full connection to that present moment is what brings upon the feeling, that reconnection, that ever expanding sense of love for yourself and for others. You can't find this feeling to the same degree if you're living in the past, if you're living in the future, if you're worrying about the things that you've done in the past and the things you have said, the habits you have created. You then begin worrying about the future based on your past experiences. From those perspectives, you can't possibly find the fullness of who you are. And it is in that fullness of who you are that you are connected to pure love, unconditional love, as you say. Removing yourself from the conditions means removing yourself from the idea of the past and the future.
Yeah, that's the part where I've been right now. I've been taking myself out of it and getting myself out of the way and slowly learning at my pace at the moment when my report shows. Just simply take myself out of, get myself out of the way. And that's what I'm learning right now.
And that's what all of you are learning. All of you, to your own degree. What is slow? What is fast? Again, it's a construct of the human mind. When we come back to that idea of ever existing, the idea of no start, no end, what is slow? What is fast? Mm-hmm. Again, it's a limiting belief of who you are. There is no slow or fast. There only is what is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, allowing yourself to move through the motions of learning and exploring more about who you are in the entirety of who you are. As you say, getting out of your own way, you can't get out of your own way. You simply can't get out of your own way. You are your own way.
That is true.
So we would suggest paying more attention to the subtleties in your language, the subtleties in your actions, the subtleties in how you are looking at your life as a human being connected to that eternal part of who you are. Although they are only words, they still carry with them a vibration that then translates into the reality manifested in life itself. Therefore, if you're constantly trying to get out of your own way, you are in a constant battle with who you are. Yes? Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was my resistance for a long, long time.
Again, what is a long, long time? Yes. We are playing the devil's advocate, as they would say.
Yeah.
It's only now. Is the resistance there now? Is the idea of getting in your way here now? No,
mm-hmm.
It's not. Right now, you're not. Right now, you are at one, at peace with your connections, with your universal self. You are not in your own way. You are creating your own way. How do you choose to create that in this moment, in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment? These are the things you are teaching and learning and still exploring yourself. Enjoying that moment, finding the passion in that moment, finding the liberation in that moment, finding peace with being who you are in this moment. Peace with knowing that who you are in this moment may not be who you are in the next moment, and that is okay too. That is nothing but pure, refined love for who you are. Accepting yourself in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, in this moment. Not in that moment, in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
there is no resistance in that concept, yes?
Yeah.
We would like to come back to a comment you made in the interview that we thought was a beautiful description of a single entity, a single individual, a drop of water in the ocean. It is a wonderful analogy of a human being in the vastness of all beings. That single drop of water moving in conjunction with all beings, yet still having an awareness that it is a drop in the ocean. But that drop, that one drop, is crucial, is imperative, is inexplicitly motivating, let's say, to the movement of all other drops of water, creating the oneness. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
When you take that idea and you translate it into life, the idea of resistance dissipates. Water taking the path of least resistance. Life taking the path of least resistance will lead you to the understanding that you are here now on purpose. That you are here now in perfection. That you are here now moving in conjunction with all beings, regardless of how seemingly opposed or in tune they are with your own belief systems. You are still moving in the direction of the whole. Yes? Your beliefs, your responses to the world around you, your reality of who you are, is impacting not only your own life, but it is impacting the lives of all those on your planet and all beings in all universes everywhere. How is that not a crucial understanding of your importance to all beings everywhere? Many of you get caught up in this idea that I'm just one person. Take out the word just. Take out the word person. I am one.
And I am one. Yes.
For a man of many words, you're awfully quiet.
I'm listening.
We enjoy jest. We enjoy playing. We believe that life is playful. It should be playful. When the idea of play is reintegrated into the lives of all people, there will be a feeling of liberation from the confines and the constructs of life is difficult. Life is only difficult based upon the beliefs you have about life, about yourself, about your expectations of who you should be, why you should be those things. Even just vocalizing those words right now creates a sense of closure, yes? A feeling of constriction.
Yes.
When you feel, and we speak to all those who are listening or will be listening, when you feel tight, when you feel clenched, when you feel as though you are operating from the level of expectations that others have of you, bring yourself back to the idea of one. You are one with all. And if you are one with all, you alone, and we use the word alone in a, we'll remove the word alone. When you come back to the idea of being one, it is up to you to decide how you want to be at one with the world around you. What is your idea of being one? What is your idea of being whole? What is your idea of being creative and imaginative in playing out the life that you have come here to create? It's remembering who you are. It's remembering the truth of your roots. It's remembering your connection to the universe. It's remembering that you are imagining this life as this human being that you are while being at one with all. accepting that in others, accepting that in yourself, accepting the truth of who you are and deciding to live that life, making a conscious effort to reflect that to the world around you. It starts as an understanding, but it becomes the action. It becomes the way your life plays out. It becomes your ability to be at peace with that person that you are, with that human being that you are. And the way that you find that peace is to remember your connection to the wholeness of it all.
That single drop of water.
That single drop of water in the midst of it all, connected to it all, flowing through it all.
The center of a ripple.
We like to use the analogy of a bubble. There's this idea that many of you have on the planet that in order to protect your space, in order to prevent, let's say, your energetic field from taking on the perhaps negative, again, we don't particularly agree with the word negative, but we're speaking your language here. Many of you have this idea that you need to protect yourself from the negative energies that are around you at all times. Therefore, you have a tendency to block your own energetic bubble from those around you for fear that that negative energy will infiltrate your own energetic field and will create ripples that you don't necessarily feel are needed in your life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We would suggest thinking of this energetic field, this bubble of energy that you are, as having the ability to come into contact with all other energetic bubbles around you, all energetic fields around you, and as rather than bouncing off of one another as these individual bubbles, as these individual droplets of water that are nudging up against and to one another, but still having a separation, allowing those energetic bubbles to come into contact and filter through you, not taking on any or all of that energy, simply allowing it to move through you.
Mm-hmm.
Without the restriction of feeling as though you need to be protected from the other energetic fields. Is this making sense?
Total sense.
So now we come back to the idea of the bubble of the droplet in the ocean. The first picture that comes to mind to many of you is an individual droplet surrounded by other individual droplets of water. Now imagine that the boundaries on the outside of that droplet disappear and become integrated fully, completely, without restriction to all the other droplets of water in the ocean. There is where you find the oneness.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I definitely can see it. Like bouncing from one bubble to another bubble.
But through.
The illusion is that there is a bubble.
Yes. It becomes one. If you can imagine blowing bubbles out of a little, out of those bubble makers as you were a kid. Yes. The bubbles are coming out. And every now and then, two bubbles would come together and they would gently come into contact with one another. And then they would form one. Have you experienced that?
Yes.
That is the idea that we're putting forth here. As opposed to the two bubbles coming together and exploding and popping in the air, yes?
Yeah.
That is a symbol. The explosion of the two is a symbol of resistance. When they come together as one and integrate as one, that is the connection we're talking about. We would like to thank you for taking this opportunity to come to us, to be willing and open, to allow yourselves to feel and breathe the energetic vibration that you are in tune with at this moment. It is our love, it is our desire to be with you on these journeys, to be a support to you in this lifetime, in the lifetimes to come. We look forward to our next exchange.
Thanks. It's been my honor to interact with you, to engage you, and to be with you. Thank you, and all my gratitude. And I will continue to share. Thank you.
Much love.
To you.
That was interesting.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome back, Steph.
I'm all sweaty.
It was the meeting of two teachers. Hey, it was that was. I love it.
You know, a cool thing is that, as you were saying about the bubbles, I'm in a room full of circles that intervene with one another. So as someone was describing what this was describing, I'm actually seeing it, and I'm actually jumping from bubble to bubble here.
Oh, you're kidding!
I'm still doing it, actually.
Oh wow! Now,
and I'm like the description of bubbles coming together or circles coming together. I'm actually in the thick of it. Once I hang up, I can do that right now. Hold on.
and that's one of the really cool things about Solomon or any of the teachers out there, is that there is no time and space, so they're with you just as much as they're with somebody else who's listening in Uruguay or Australia, or like they're obviously, you know, they're privy to everything that's happening, and they're using something that's tangible to you to help integrate the ideas that they're talking about.
I just pictured you an image of what I'm seeing. So as I'm describing the bubbles, I'm basically in front of a whole huge floor full of them.
That's really cool.
As someone was describing all of it, I could see it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have to use my imagination. I could see it.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow, I wish all of our listeners could see this. And you know what we'll do is, if you don't mind, we'll post this on our podcast page.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah.
As someone was describing the bubbles coming together and all that, I'm basically jumping from bubble to bubble, going, I get
it. You really are. If everyone out there could see this picture right now, it symbolizes what I was seeing in my own mind while Solomon was talking, and it's pretty amazing, and I love that.
The bubbles something my father taught me a long time ago, and I could see it like that, and then. As I'm describing that bubble, I'm like, it's right in front of me.
Wow.
He's describing it exactly. As I'm describing exactly what's in front of me, and I just, as soon as he started, I stepped on one, and I saw his description. So as he was seeing them come together, I'm like, I'm bouncing from one to another, and I can see it, and it creates the whole.
And it does. It really does. It creates the whole, and it's. I love the messages from Solomon and the gang, because they're really so simplistic, but so powerful. And yeah. I think that's the beautiful thing about the universe is, you know, from a physical mind point of view, we tend to complicate things, but from the eternal point of view, the messages are simple. And, you know, here you are standing on these bubbles, and here's Solomon talking to you and using that as the description so that you can conceptualize it and internalize it so profoundly based upon your actual current reality of where you are right now, physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was phenomenal. It was beautiful. I'm like, you're describing everything I'm seeing. And I wouldn't even have to use my imagination to understand it.
Sorry, guys, but we're out of time. Miguel, it's been absolutely amazing speaking with you today.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I had a wonderful time. I really did. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I learned so much.
and wow, it was beautiful to me. It was like listening to Mama Gaia talk. It was like, wow, I haven't someone else talk like Mama Gaia.
Mama Gaia.
That was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Well, thanks everyone for being here with us. I highly recommend finding Miguel and his teachings at DonMiguelRuizJr.com. To hear our full interview with Miguel and to see his picture that he sent to us showing what he was seeing while Solomon was speaking with him, you can check it out in our archives. Tune in with us again in 2 weeks as Miguel's brother Don Jose Ruiz will be joining us. To learn more about Stephanie or Solomon, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing week.